Yeah, that's what happens in first class. After a while, people takes time to people to get back into the. Okay, we're starting by Iboy Lahu. In the English Gemara, it's Mamish, you know, on the top of the English of 23a2. Okay, in the Mishnah, the Gemara was discussing basically what it says in the Mishnah, but the last thing the Gemara was discussing, that the Chachamim forbid, because of a story that happened, a guy was carrying the ashes and the water from the Parah Aduma, and there was a kezias of a...
Surprise.
A kezias of a dead body, and because of that, the Chacham said, you can't take things together when you take mechatas. So one of the things the Gemara said, you can't have a shoe that's tamei together with mechatas. Why? Because you might end up touching each other. And then you're going to end up making the ashes of the Parah Aduma tamei. So the Gemara asked the question, Iboy Lahu, regarding what it says in the Mishnah, we ask a shayla. Sandal tamei, chav gimel amir aleph. No, you have to go to chagiga. Okay, middle of the page. Iboy Lahu, sandal tamei mahu. It's sandal tamei. Did the Mishnah only mean that a tamei dika shoe you can't carry when you have mechatas? Aval sandal tahar mahu. What's the din if the sandal is tahar? Meaning, when the Chacham made the decree, did he include all types of shoes or only tamei dika shoes? But if it's not a tamei dika shoe, it's fine. So, or the same question goes, chav is psucha. When it said in the Mishnah, you cannot carry an open barrel of Kedish. Together with Mechatos, the question is, Chavis Tumemah, what's the din if it's a sealed barrel? Because we know a barrel that's earthenware could only become Tummy from the inside. If you touch it on the outside, we learned, Cheres, earthenware, cannot become Tummy. So the question, an open barrel, I understand there's a problem, because you might put the tumah inside the barrel and it's going to make a tumah. But the question, what happens if it's a sealed barrel? Does it apply also? Or a third question, avar v'nasa mahu. What happens if a guy did carry it, but they didn't touch it? In other words, the Mishnah said it then, you can't carry those things. By Chattas it said, you can't carry... Yeah. You can't carry chatos with things of Hegdash together. So the question, what happens if a guy did do it, but they didn't touch? So the question is, what's the din? So Rabila said, if you carried this thing together with Kedish, Midras with Kedish, it automatically becomes Tameh, even though you didn't touch it. But the Chachamim decreed that because you transgressed the decree of the Chachamim, that the Chachamim said you can't carry it, it makes a tummy. Rab Zeira says, Aver v'nasa tahar. If you carried it, it's tahar. Granted, you went against what the Chachamim told you. The Chachamim said, don't carry it. But the fact is, you didn't touch each other, so therefore the din is it's tahar. Okay? Now, this is basically... And the din that we learned before, like it says in the Gemara, Ba'ese Shah, there was because of incidents that happened, the Gemara said a story, because of incidents that happened, it said that you're not allowed to carry Midras with Kedish. If you carry Midras, Midras is something that became Tameh. If you carry with Truma, it's fine, if it doesn't touch each other. Hegdish, the Chacham said you can't. So now the question is, there are three questions. The Gemara only answered the third one. The first two the Gemara did not answer. But the third question was, what happens if a guy did carry it? Does it automatically become Tameh or not? So one opinion says yes, one opinion says no. That's the end of this Gemara.
So we don't know the answer to
the other two didn't answer.
And the one that did, the last one, he said Rabbi Zera says this and this. And
you mean who's Allah alike? Rab Zeira. The Rambam Paschal says the Gimel. The Rambam Paschal takes Rab Zeira that the Evid, if you did it, is kosher. It's tahar. Because the fact is, there's Lachatchil and B'di Evid. You know, Lachatchil, you can't do it. B'di Evid, you did it. But if it didn't become Tameh, it didn't become Tameh. Now the Mishnah said another. The Gemara is going back again to the dinim of the Mishnah. In the Mishnah was a din that kelim and nigmarim betahara, that when you finish kelim, you make a keli. Even though when you finished it, it was tahar, the Mishnah said a din that nevertheless, you need to tevel it. Here, it says, in the Mishnah on page Chaf Amid Beis, the Mishnah said, kelim and nigmarim betahara, kelim that were completed in purity, you still have to tevel them for Kedish. Not for Truma, but even though they're not Tomei at all. Chacham said for Hegdish, you have to tevel them anyway. That was the din in the Mishnah. So now the Gemara is going to elaborate on that din. The Gemara asks a very simple question. The Gemarinu Ma, who finished it? Who is the workman that finished the Keli? Ilema the Gemarinu Chavar, if a Tamid Chacham finished the Keli. So he says, Lamahu Tvila. Why do they need to be tevel? He's careful in the laws of Tuma. He finished the Keli when it was Tahar. So what are you afraid of? What do you have to tevel it for? Ela de Gemarinu Amaretz. So you must say, an Amaretz finished the Keli. So the Gemara says, so why do you say Nigmarim b'Tahara Kodullah? Why do you say it was completed in Tahara? The assumption is, an Amaretz is Tamei. So if an Amaretz finished the Keli, then it becomes Tamei. Now that I have to give one more just din to understand the upcoming Gemara. Something which is not a keli, as a rule, something which is not a vessel, cannot become tamei. It becomes tamei once it becomes a keli and something tamei touches it. So the Mishnah says that even though the keli was finished by somebody who was tahor, you still have to tevel it for hegdish, not for truma. For truma, you could use it right away because it's not tamei. For hegdish, the chachamim said you still have to tevel it. So the Gemara says, 1 minute. If a Tamid Chacham made the Keli, he made it into a Keli, so then it's Tahor. What do you need to tevel it for? If an Amoretz made it, then it's Tamei. So what do you mean it was finished in Tahor? It's not. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba Bar Shila, Amar Rav Nasna Mishmul, Rabba Bar Shila said the name of Rav Nasna, the name of Shmul, Le'elam de Gamrinu Chavir. Really, the one that finished the Keli was a Tamid Chacham. If it's a Tamid Chacham, it's Tahor. Why do you have to tevel the Keli? So he says, Mishum Tsinura Dama Aretz. It's possible that Ama Aretz spit on the Keli. And a person who's Tamei, their spit can make something Tamei. So it's possible that when the Tamid Chacham finished the Keli, an Ama Aretz spit on it. And therefore the Keli becomes Tamei. So right away the Gemara says, 1 minute. The Nafal Amos, when did the spit, here he calls it the spittle, but I guess we call it spit for short. When did the spit touch the Keli? If it touched it before it became a Keli, before he completed it, halav mono, then it's not a Keli. If it's not a Keli, it can't become Tamei. Ela, we must say, Basad de Gamri, after he finished the Keli. So the Gemara asks, but then Mizr Zorbu, then the Tamid Chacham is careful. If the Tamid Chacham is careful, so he's going to make sure that Amaretz doesn't spit on it. So again, the Gemara's question is very practical. If the Tamid Chacham finished the Keli, and the guy spit, so he's going to be careful that Amaretz shouldn't even come close to the Keli. If the guy spit before it became a Keli, who cares? It can't become Tamei. So my answer is an interesting answer. Before the Keli is finished, the Chaver is not careful. Because it's not a Keli yet. What happened was like this. The Ma'aretz spit before it completed a Keli. Then he made it into a Keli. But the spit was still wet. And because the spit of the Ma'aretz was still wet, it could make a Tamei. Once the spit dries, it's not spit anymore. So the Gemara says it's a crazy scenario. The guy spit before it became a Keli, and then the Chaver didn't care because it wasn't a Keli yet. And then the Tamid Chacham finished it as a Keli, and the spit is still wet, so it becomes Tamei. So the Gemara says, So my answer is like this. The truth is, Mekame de Gamri. The guy spit before he made it into a keli. But the problem is, V'dilma be'idna de Gamri, it's possible that at the time the Talmud Chacham finished the keli, and now it became susceptible to become Tamei, Adayin Lechi, the spit is still wet. And because the spit is still wet, he could become Tamei.
But if it's for Teruma, we don't care.
Teruma, we don't care.
Even if it's Amharis who's making it, it's
okay. No. Because, I don't know, to tell you the truth, I don't know, but just learning the Gemara the way it sounds, I'm sure the Rishonim discuss it. But the truth is, the Mishnah's expression was, Kalim that were finished, Betahara, don't need mikveh. So Gemara asks, if an Amar is finished, it is not Betahara. So then for Terumah, it would need, because Amar is Tameh. So the Gemara's answer is, it's speaking of Talmud Chacham finished the Keli. Why for Hegdish do you have to table it? It's Tahar. So Gemara says, maybe, and this is the crazy maybe, but for Kedish, we are so strict that even for such a far-fetched maybe, we still table it. That maybe the guy spit before it became a Keli. Then the Talmud Chacham made it into a Keli, but the spit was still wet, so it became Tamei. So to assume such a crazy, far-fetched mitzias, so to speak, for Terumah we're not choshed. We're not afraid for Terumah. But for Hegdish, we're so careful in the strictness and observance of Hegdish, because of that slight possibility, the Chachamim say, for Hegdish you have to table the Keli. Even though it's like really far-fetched. But now the Gemara says like this, and let me give an introduction to the next piece of Gemara. In the Chumash it says,
I'm sorry, I am looking for young Israel of North Beverly Hills. Would you tell
that's
me?
On
you have to go to the corner and go left, and all the way when it turns, you'll find it there.
Yes, I know the address is at the corner, but it's like a just
you know the library. You know the
it's
library?
In a business building.
It's inside?
Yeah, yeah.
Where is the entrance though?
There's an entrance on the street.
Your parking lot is the back parking lot?
There's a ramp on this street?
Yeah, in Civic Center Drive, where you go and turn.
Back in the parking lot, you go to right across the street, right there. There's probably the only light on in the whole place.
That way?
Yeah,
that way.
Do I turn or I don't?
You turn.
I turn.
But it's right at the beginning of the turn.
Okay.
Behind
thank
the court, where the courthouse is, right over there, in that area.
By the courthouse?
No. Let's go to the corner, make a left.
Make a left. Oh,
okay.
Thank you.
There's a din that if somebody becomes Tamei, the Torah says like this, you go to the mikveh, and then the Torah says, V'tamei ad ha'erev, you're Tamei until the evening. Even though you went to the mikveh, the Torah says, V'tamei ad ha'erev. So by biblical tumah, just going to the mikveh is not enough. You need sundown to make you pure. Over here, the Gemara is saying this rabbinic decree that kalim that were made tahar, b'tahara, you still have to table them for hegdish. But the Mishnah just says you have to table them. It doesn't say you need to wait until nightfall to use them. Because the Mishnah, if that's what it meant, should have said you need tefillah and nightfall. The Mishnah just says you need to table them. So the Gemara asks, Tvila in, it seems to my Mishnah that you only need to table it. But head of Shemesh Noi, but you don't have to wait until nightfall. So the Gemara says, Mas Nisin, based on this, our Mishnah cannot go according to Rabbi Eliezer. Why can our Mishnah not go according to Rabbi Eliezer? Because it says, the Tanan, it says in the Mishnah as follows, in a different Mishnah. A sheferis is a reed tube. Okay? They used to make tubes out of reeds. They didn't have plastic in those days. So they made tubes out of reeds. So what happens if a guy needed to cut the reed, cut the tube, for water of the paradumer? So Rabbi Eliezer says, Yidfel meyad, you have to put it into the mikveh right away. And Rabbi Yeshua says, yitamei v'achakach yidfel. You have to make a tamei and then table it. Oh. Okay, this is as follows. There were, in English they're called the Sadducees, the Tzedukim, the people that did not believe in the oral tradition. They took Psukim literally. So they maintained that any Tumah that became Tamei, in reference to the Paraduma, you need to wait not only until Mikveh, you need to wait until evening. That's what they held. The Chachamim learned Tershe Baal Peh, and they learned that Pei Parah Aduma, you don't need to wait until evening. Mikveh itself is enough. In the people preparing the things for the Parah Aduma. So to prove the Sadducees wrong, and in those days there was an epidemic of Sadducees, not like today, you know. The Tzedukim, they didn't believe in the oral tradition. They only believed that, like the Karaites, the Sadducees, the Tzedukim, by Tusim. So what did the Chachamim do? When it came to guys doing with the Paraduma, they made them Tamei. They went out of their way to make the person or the utensils Tamei. They took him to the mikveh, and right away they did the Paraduma, without waiting until night. If they would have taken a pure person or pure objects, so then it doesn't show the Sadducees wrong. They wanted to prove the Tzedukim wrong, to show that we're not listening to you. So they would make the thing Tamei, take him to the mikveh, and right away do the Paraduma. So now the Gemara says like this. The guy has a reed, tube from reeds, and the guy cut it. Now, Rabbi Elazar says, it's already Tamei. The Gemara is going to ask a question, what it means, but Rabbi Elazar says like this, it's already Tamei.
It began being a Tamei.
It's Tamei. It became Tamei by cutting it. So what do? You have to take it to the mikveh. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, it's not Tamei. Make it Tamei and then take it to the mikveh. Now everybody says, you have to table it. The question is it Tamei that you just table it, or do you have to make a Tamei first? So the Gemara says, Vavinam Bey, so we ask a question on this din. The Chot Chaman, who cut it? Because it doesn't make sense. What's their argument? Rabbi Elazar says, just bring it to the mikveh, which implies it's Tamei. And Rabbi Yeshua says, you have to make a Tamei, which implies it's not Tamei. Right? So the Gemara says, who cuts it? Ilei me the Chot Chachavir, if a Chavir cut it, a Tamil Chacham cut it, Lama li Tvila, why do you need to table it? And so, Elamai, we must say that an Amoritz cut it. So the Gemara says, "Behole me Rabbi Yeshua, yitame v'yitvel." So then, why does Rabbi Yeshua have to say, "Make it tamei and table it"? Hotamei v'koy, it's already tamei. Why do you have to make a tamei if an Amoritz cut it? It's tamei. If a chaver cut it, it's not tamei. Right. So how can Rabbi Elazar say just table it? V'amir Abba Rishila, this is the same Gemara that we just learned. V'amir Abba Rishila, Amir Abba Masna Mishmol, Le'elam D'chotcha Achavir. Really, the Mishnah is speaking about a chavir cut it. If a chavir cut it, why is it Tamei? Mishum Tzineirid Amoritz, because of the spit of an Amoritz. So again, the Gemara asked in Alpha Amos, when did the spit fall? Ilemer Mekame D'lechatcha, did it spit before he cut it? Halavman is not a keli yet. It's just a tube. He didn't make it into a keli. Ela baster the chotcha. So we must say he's speaking that the amar is spit after he cut it. So Mrs. Arbe, again, the guy's going to be careful. So the Gemara answers the same answer like we had before. Mikamid lechatcha. The guy spit before he cut it. And then he cut, the chover cut it. But the spit was still wet. Right? The dain lechi. Okay, so then the Gemara says like this. So this is the case. First we'll have the case. The Gemara just figured out the case. And then we'll discuss the din. The case is, a guy has a reed tube. Okay, a guy cuts it. Who cuts it? A chaver. A Talmid Chacham cuts it. So everybody says you have to put it to the mikveh. Rabbi Eliezer says just bring it to the mikveh. Why? Because we're afraid maybe an amarit spit before it became a keli. Then the chaver made it into a keli, but the spit didn't dry yet, so it's going to make a tummy. So Rabbi Eliezer says it's tummy, take it to the mikveh. Rabbi Yeshua says no, you have to make it tummy and then bring it to the mikveh. Okay, that's basically the argument between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. That's the case, and that's the argument. So the Gemara says, Bishleim Rabbi Yeshua, according to Rabbi Yeshua, it makes sense, this Gemara. Hainu dihika akeda letzedukim. This is a demonstration to go against the tzedukim. Why? So he says, the Tanan, because it says, what did they do for the tzedukim? So Gemara said the Tanan, because we learned in the Mishnah, Metam in a Sakena Seiref is a Potter, the Chacham would, the Kayin that would burn the Potter Aduma, you know, to get the ashes, they would make him Tomei, they would Dafka make him Tomei, Lahaitim Iliban Shal Tzedukim, to exclude the mind of the Tzedukim, that they said, that it could only be done by a guy that went to the mikveh and needs to wait until nightfall. But the Chachamim learned that as long as the guy went to the mikveh, he's able to do it. So then it makes sense. What did Rabbi Yeshua say? Make it Tomei, to show everybody that you're making it Tomei, and then you take it to the mikveh and use it. Elul Rabbi Lozar. But according to Rabbi Lozer, alma be'inin head of shemesh. If you always need head of shemesh, meaning tevling it is not enough, you also need nightfall. Hainu di'ika kated the tzedukim. That's why you have a recognition for the tzedukim. I'll explain in a second. Eli amit loy be'inin head of shemesh. But if you hold, you don't need head of shemesh. You don't need nightfall. Ma kated the tzedukim. What type of sign is it for the tzedukim? Meaning as follows. This is going back to the Gemara. Our Mishnah said that a keli that was made with tahara, you need to table it. Do you need to wait until nightfall? No. So Gemara says, our Mishnah cannot be like Rabbi Eliezer. Why? What did Rabbi Eliezer say by Par Aduma? When you cut the reed, you have to table it in the mikveh. Right? To prove the tzedukim wrong. So he says like this, if you always need head of shemesh, if you always need nightfall to purify it, and here we don't, so you're disproving the tzedukim. But if you never need nightfall, so when you don't need nightfall here, how does that disprove the tzedukim? It's not tummy anymore, it went to the mikveh.
Well, in this case, we don't need nightfall because it was an assumption that maybe somebody's Amar is spitting it.
Well, that's what our Gemara says. But our Mishnah says you need to table it. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah only says table it. It doesn't say you need to wait till nightfall.
Well, because it's just an assumption, maybe you don't have to wait till evening.
But the Gemara says, but according to Rabbi Eliezer, you would need to wait until nightfall. Mm-hmm. Why? Because Rabbi Eliezer says, the same exact case, a chaver finished the keli, the guy spit before, but it's still wet. Same case as our Gemara. Same case as our Mishnah. What does Rabbi Eliezer say? Just table it. Yeah? If you're just tabling it, and you could use it right away, and that's the halach in all cases, so what's unique about Par Aduma?
He's saying this is halach only in this case.
By Par Aduma, though. He saw by Par Aduma. So he says, the fact that by Par Aduma he says you could use it right away, shows that all over, you need to wait till nightfall. And Par Aduma and the Chacham are making different. Right? But the Gemara says that's not what our Mishnah says. Our Mishnah says you need to table it for Kaidish, not for Par Aduma, for Kaidish, and you don't need to wait until nightfall. So how could it go contra Rabbi Eliezer? Because contra Rabbi Eliezer, the fact that by the Par Aduma he says you could table it and use it right away to disprove the tzedukim. The only way you could disprove the tzedukim is that means always you do need it nightfall, and here you don't, to show the tzedukim wrong. So the Mishnah can't go contra. Meanwhile, the Gemara asks, the Mishnah can't go contra Rabbi Eliezer. Our Mishnah says you don't need nightfall. The Gemara says, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you must say that all over the place you need nightfall, but not by Paraduma. Because that's making Paraduma an exception. Right? But if you never need nightfall, by saying Paraduma doesn't need nightfall, it's not an exception anymore. So how are you disproving the Tzedukim by saying something that doesn't matter? So seemingly, the Gemara says, our Mishnah looks like it goes according to Rabbi Yeshua. But it's very interesting, this whole concept of being more lenient by Parah Aduma to disprove the Tzedukim, even though the most stringent Tumah is Parah Aduma. And the Gemara is going to say in a minute, because of this leniency, in other things that were super strict, that people shouldn't think that Parah Aduma is more lenient than Hegdish. In other words, the Chachamim, like we're, I won't say the word playing games, but to disprove the Tzedukim, the Chachamim were more lenient than Parah Aduma. In one respect, the Tzedukim said you need to wait until nightfall, the Chachamim said mikveh is enough for Parah Aduma, you don't need to wait nightfall. Even though all over the place you might. Which means Parah Aduma is more lenient. Every other tomb in the world you need to wait until nightfall, and Parah Aduma you don't. So because of that, the Chachamim made it stricter in other cases.
So this was not a temporary
interruption? No.
It lasted
for as long as the Parah Aduma existed.
Two periods of 400 years
ago. Well, there was the Mishkan, the first base of Mikdash, second base of Mikdash. The Rambam writes there are 9 Parah Adumas in history, and relatively speaking, I think from Moshe Rabbeinu through the first base of Mikdash, I think were 2 or 3 Parah Adumas, and the other 6 or 7 were in the second base of Mikdash. The Rambam writes the 10th Parah Aduma Mashiach is going to make. It's going to do.
There's no need for it then.
Yeah.
The Mashiach is already here.
Yeah, but we're just waiting for the red cow. The red heifer is not here yet.
Yeah.
Even though there was a time they said in Israel they found the Parah Aduma. And then they disqualified it.
Completely red.
If it had 2 black hairs, it was possible. The whole, from one place, 2 black hairs disqualified the Parah Aduma.
Imagine if they found a red heifer?
There was a, when they had a red heifer, obviously they wished to make always that they should have one. But it was a very difficult thing to find.
Work.
Yeah, no work, any yoke on it would be no good. There's a story in the Gemara that one time a guy had a Parah Aduma, and the Chachamim came to look at it, and they were going to come back the next day with the money, and the guy was a troublemaker, so he put a yoke on it and took it off just to mess up to prove the Chacham, yeah, you see I tricked you. The Chacham came the next day to buy it. They said, let's look at the Parah Aduma again. They looked at it. They said, we're not buying it. Because something with the yoke, an animal that never has a yoke, the hair is flat. Anytime there's a yoke, the hair stands up. So when they looked at the Parah Aduma again to examine it, they saw that the hair was standing up. So they knew the guy put a yoke on it. So the guy lost all his money. I mean, they were willing to pay millions or whatever it was for Parah Aduma, because they had to have it. And he got messed up. He lost all his money.
So what happens if they find it? Let's say tomorrow they find it.
What they're going to do is because it can only be a certain age. Parah Aduma is also only a certain age.
Okay, so let's say they find it.
So they're going to make sure to put it away and take care of it and groom it and not touch it and not make it work. And and get ready for Mashiach comes.
So I was the fine one. That means you can take it to
yeah.
The Holy Land.
That's right.
Brooklyn.
That's right. Okay, so the Gemara asks, basically, it comes out that Amishta cannot go contra Beliezer, because of contra Beliezer, it implies that you would always have Harif Shemesh, and therefore be part of the Mises. No. Amirav. Rav answered, it can even go contra Beliezer. Why? Asuk Tomei Sheretz. The Chachamim made the tube equivalent to the Sheretz Tumah. Meaning as follows. It could be that the Tumah normally would not need Harif Shemesh. Like in our Mishnah. Like Parah Aduma, the Chachamim made it like the Tumah of a Sheretz, which is a more stringent Tumah. Meaning as follows, it says over here, explains like this. A vessel completed that does not have a status of Rishon, maybe a Sheni. Over here, the Chachamim made it a Sheretz, and therefore, anything it touches becomes Tumah. Meaning as follows. What did the Chachamim want to do? The Chachamim wanted to show that the Tzaddukim were wrong. That the Tzaddukim were wrong. So what did they do? They gave this tube a more stringent Tumah, that because of it, it normally would need nightfall, and over here it doesn't. Meaning, regular Kalim that you make for Hegdish, the Tumah doesn't need nightfall. It doesn't need nightfall. So the question is, so why when you cut the tube, would it need nightfall? The Gemara says over there is stricter. And the Gemara is going to explain it. Because Parah Aduma is, in this respect, more lenient, Chachamim gave Parah Aduma a more stringent Tumah. Which means like this. If a guy finishes a keli, and we're only afraid of spit, so the Chachamim gave it Tumah. It's not Tameh. Something is not Tameh until you know it's Tameh. Maybe it's Tameh. I mean, what should you think? Maybe it's Tameh. Right? A Tamil Chacham finished the Keli. The assumption is it's Tahar. We're not talking about Parah Aduma, but now for Hegdish. A Chaver finished the Keli. What Tumah status did the Chachamim give it? A Sheni. Meaning, a very minimal Tumah. And because of that, the Chachamim said, table it in the mikveh. But do you need nightfall? No, why do you need nightfall for? Mikveh would be enough. But when it comes to Parah Aduma, and a guy cuts a tube for Parah Aduma, for Chatos, over there the Chachamim said, you know, really, this should become Tomei like a Sheretz, like a Rishon. And a Rishon's Tumah, you need not only mikveh, but you also need nightfall. So over here by Chatos, really you would need nightfall. Nevertheless, the Chachamim said, to disprove the Tzedukim, you don't need nightfall. But in our case of Hegdish, everybody says you don't need nightfall. Because the Tumah is minimal. By Parah Aduma, though, the Chachamim would give it a stronger status of Tumah, that normally would need nightfall, but the Chachamim said, you know what? Let's be to get rid of the Tzedukim, we're going to say you don't need Harif Shemesh. And therefore you don't need it. But you're disproving the Tzedukim. Because when the Tzedukim hear that this Tumah really would demand Harif Shemesh, that's how strong they made it, over here the Chachamim said, you don't need Harif Shemesh. Rabbi Yeshua doesn't need this whole thing. Rabbi Yeshua says you have to make a tummy. Once you're making a tummy, so automatically disproving the tzedukim.
But it's already too much sure. Why
do you have to make a tummy? No, that's a contra Beliezer. So contra Rabbi Yeshua, you don't. It's not too much sure. Therefore, you have to make a tummy. You know, that itself is the argument. Rabbi Eliezer says the Chachamim gave it the status of Tumas Sheretz, so it's already Tameh. So what do you have to make a Tameh for? It is Tameh. Rabbinically, the Chachamim gave it a status of a Sheretz. So therefore, you need to table it. You don't need to make a Tameh, it became Tameh. Rabbi Yeshua says, no. It's still status of Tumah. Make a Tameh and then bring it to the mikveh and use it right away, that you don't need to show that the Tzedukim don't know what they're talking about. So now the Gemara says, Elameyato, if the tube is considered like a tumah touched by a sheretz, lo yisetame adam, it shouldn't be able to make a person tumah. Ala matanya. Why do we learn in a braisa? Chaytcho madbila, the one that cuts the tube, or one that tables the tube, turns tefillah needs to go to the mikveh. Meaning as follows: there's a din. We learned this before. A person could only become tumah from an av hatumah. A person can only become tummy from, if a person touches a sheretz, he could become tummy. But if a person touches something a sheretz touched, then he can't become tummy. Because the sheretz is av. The thing the sheretz touches is a rishin. A person touching a rishin cannot become tummy. Only if he touches an avatum. So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Eliezer, what did the Chachamim do over here? They made the tube as if a sheretz touched it. So what is the tube? A rishon. So the Gemara asks, so if a man touches this tube, why should he become tummy? A rishon cannot make a person tummy. Yet, Allah is, whoever cuts the tube, or for that matter, tables the tube, becomes tummy. What?
If steps on it, or sits on it.
We're going to soon see.
On a rishon, then it's different.
No. No. Only enough. Adam and Kalim could only become Tamei from an Avatumah. This whole thing is Gzeresa Kod. The whole thing doesn't make sense anyway. But that's the Torah says people, not only men, women also, men and people and Kalim could only become Tamei from an Avatumah. So the Gemara says, asks, you're giving this the Tumah of a Sheretz, which is a rishon. Why the guy that cuts at the tables that needs to go to the mikveh? Why is he tummy? So the Gemara says, El Asur Ketame Mes. They made the tube like it became tummy from a dead body. So then the tube is an avatumah, because that mes is avi avesa tumah. So the Gemara says, Yahachi, Tiboy Azar Shlishi Ushvi. Then whoever touches it, then the tube should need, if the tube is like it touched the dead body, that's the tumah the Chachamim gave it, then you need to sprinkle it on the third and the seventh. If you're giving it that status of tumah, like it touched the dead body, so then why don't you need to sprinkle third and seventh? Allah Matanya, why does it say, Chaytcho Madbila, the one that cuts the tube, or one that tables the tube, Torah and Tefillah needs to go to the mikveh. Tefillah in, they only need to go to the mikveh. Hazar Shlishu Shvina, but you don't need to be sprinkled the third and the seventh. So a base, if you're giving it tumas, so now the Gemara is asking like this. If it's only Sheretz, then the person shouldn't become Tameh at all. If you're giving it the tumas mess, then the tube needs to be sprinkled the third and seventh day. Hello, the Gemara answers like this. Asui ketame meis b'shvi shalei. They made it like a person on the seventh day. Only the guy on the seventh day, after he gets squirted, all he needs is mikveh. So that's the tumah they made it. Meaning they made it av hatumah, and therefore the guy that touches it becomes tamei. But they did make it a tumah, the tube, a tumah that touched the dead body, that needs three and seven. It's like they made it at the end of the seventh day that all he needs is mikveh. But what did they make it? Avatumah. They made it avatumah, but only like on the seventh day where all you need is mikveh. But now the Gemara asks, "Vatanya, but we learned in a Braisa, me elam lechit shudaver beparam."